training class will get you reminiscing if you've been in a training class a few decades ago, as I was. I was at the church at Lancaster, that's where I obeyed the gospel and decided to preach full time. And I had done my due diligence with little 4x6 cards on the judgment day and practice before the mirror and all those things you're supposed to do to assure that it would be a lesson that would be your best at the age of 13. And had a 12-minute lesson ready to go. Then I looked out at the audience, and that 12-minute lesson just dwindled to 5 minutes, and I was through. I was taking the place with a friend of mine who was the full-time preacher was out of town, and so he and I were trying to bridge up the time gap in that worship service that Sunday evening. And the preacher's wife walked up to me after the lesson, and she said, "You know, you should really consider full-time preaching." And almost like an astronomer to the stars, a writer to the book, the craftsman to the wood, mahogany or whatever, the baseball player to the glove or to the bat, the sprinter to the run or the marathon runner from Kenya, however you want to phrase it, it just fit. And they made me finish high school. Wow. Then I finally did preach full time for 13 years. It was the 11 of the best years of my entire life. The churches where there weren't elders, you could tell it, feel it, sense it, experience it. Sometimes get disheartened by it. And I don't know if we know how wonderful the Holy Spirit was and is when he gave certain directions for men to be qualified as elders. Elders and qualified elders in a local church. I don't know of a Greek word or a Hebrew word that expresses our thankfulness and our appreciation, the difference in trying to do the Lord's work with or without elders, with or without elders is a world of difference. That's why Robert Turner wrote an article in Plain Talk one time. He said, "Business meeting blues." The first sentence of that article was, "In the absence of elders, business meetings can be something else." He also wrote an article, and Robert Turner is, I think, the impeccable writer of the previous century, this century, and probably the next one. He wrote an article in there that Christians say thanks. And so at the very beginning today, I want to give my thanks to the elders here for Bobby and Don for giving me the okay to present this lesson to you this evening. I fully believe with every part of my being, with every red blood puzzle and you know, white blood, whatever flows through me, I really believe this is going to be good for all of us. I really believe it would be mutually beneficial or I would not be here. So I want to say thanks for that, my appreciation, and my appreciation for y'all being here this evening. So we're just going to begin. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can we get an amen? Amen. The word joy or joyfulness is a word that appears about 100 times in scriptures, but most of all, the word joyfulness occurs within our hearts. A local church which enjoys and thus perpetuates joyfulness shall influence well eternal souls of every generation and from nation to nation. A local church with joy provides a good place for college students, a safe haven for college students to continue their spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. And the elderly get to live their life out in peace and harmony. And the very young can only sense that something special is going on here. And they're not sure exactly what it is, but they enjoy singing songs like we did this morning, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." Thank you, Ron, for that service this morning. Joyfulness in the local church arrangement is like a radiant flower, beautiful to behold and nice to be around. Joyfulness in the local church arrangement is really like having perhaps your own botanical garden right in your own backyard, it is beyond compare. Joyfulness in the local church arrangement is like the orange harvest moon, as it appears to keep close ebb with the earth as it did just a few weeks ago. And wasn't that spectacular? Joyfulness in the local church arrangement is like the very first sunrise in the history of history in the book of Genesis. Joyfulness in the local church arrangement is like camping out on the desert on a cold night as the campfire begins to fade with glowing embers, as you observe the stars in the sky, and as your eyes adjust to the darkness, more and more stars come into view. And you know there is a designer behind all of that. And truly, God calls all those stars by name, Psalm 147, verse 4. And as that breathless moment, you ask yourself, could anything be more wonderful? And the answer is yes, it is joyfulness in the local church arrangement. One of the reasons there is joyfulness in the local church arrangement is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, which speaks of the church, the manifold wisdom of God. If there were a trillion universes, they all together accumulatively would not compare to the joyfulness in the local church arrangement, and that is what we have. The difference is, one is temporal, to be done away with when God so deems it to be so, and the church, the manifold wisdom of God, is eternal. Just as each flower or each plant has its own design, so too does joyfulness in the local church arrangement. It has its components. What is it that makes or causes a local church arrangement to be joyful? And I can tell you this. It can be compared to the tip of an iceberg. If you're taking notes, you can draw an iceberg there, the tip of the iceberg. And as you see about 10% of the top of that iceberg, which is above the water, like an ocean, while 90% of an iceberg is below the oceanic water. We shall focus on that 90% in this lesson. We shall search the scriptures, which are just inexhaustible, to explore and see what causes the local church to dwarf the universe. And are you ready for the book of Philippians? We'll be spending, as you would guess, as good Bible students, we'll be spending some good time there. And because of the book of Philippians, unlike any other, serves as excellent commentary on joyfulness in the local church arrangement. That's what they had too, and with good reason they had joyfulness. If you were to highlight the word joy or joyfulness, by the way, in this book of Philippians and decided to read just those words, it would sound something like this. You would notice words that you highlighted like rejoicing, joy of faith, rejoice, rejoicing, and joy. And again, I say rejoice. And so we see the word joy or joyfulness more than a dozen times in this short four-chapter book. Wow. And why were they so joyful? We're going to find six elements that were indispensable to the church at Philippi and that are indispensable to any local church that rejoices in God as a local church in the local church arrangement. So, we see, first of all, in the book of Philippians, it's addressed to whom? To the saints, the shepherds, and the deacons. And there's your first clue. Deacons are qualified to be special servants to the shepherds or to the elders. The shepherds or the elders are qualified from the book of Titus and Timothy, as we have here at Northwest. And the saints have been redeemed and sanctified by the chief shepherd, Christ Jesus, as it is here, to be active members of the local church. Even as it states in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Essentially, what brought the church at Philippi together so joyfully was leadership. You cannot have a good local church without good leadership. It just doesn't happen. But the joyful thing is, oh, actually, it does occur. And hence the elder or the shepherds, like we have it here at Northwest, the value of their work is priceless. Now, I want to spend just a little bit of time here because I believe that whether it's a church or it's a business or it's your health, all these things run on energy. There's an analogy there. And the energy that our elders have, I think, can be enhanced the more that we encourage them. With absolute sincerity, their work is priceless. They are tireless. and on occasion, no doubt, burn the midnight oil as they help with the challenges of you and me. Even with their qualifications, that is hard work. That is why we respect them and especially regard them highly in love for their work's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. It's not going to hurt you, and it's going to help them every now and then on occasion walk up to one of the elders or both of them and say, hey, thank you for your leadership. It's very important to me. Appreciate your leadership. Appreciate your example. Those are good things, and that will help you be their wind, as it were, under their wings. And that's very important. And the Holy Spirit would want us to do that. Shepherds or elders advise us. They counsel us in matters of the Scriptures. They possess a resolute and non-compromising spirit regarding truth. And in the book of Acts chapter 15 and verses 1 through 34, we're not going to read all of that, but we're going to look at the Scriptures in reverse because of an event that concluded in much joyfulness. And just as an overview, here's what happened in the book of Acts chapter 15. It's a very important chapter for us to understand if we're going to understand joyfulness in the local church arrangement. Here's what happened. Some had taught the brethren that they were to keep the law of Moses. So obviously, as Bible students, you know that they were in error. Then the brethren brought this question to the apostles, the leadership in place then. You see, then they had inspired men. Today we have inspired book. And then there was an orderly public discussion about the matter and the truth and the matter. And the truth prevailed, which resulted in much rejoicing. My only point is this. Joyfulness is not without task. And our appreciation for their work, which surely must be daily, continuous, synergistic work going on all the time, resulting in joyfulness in our lives and as a local church as well. Indeed, their leadership is the catalyst to our mutual joyfulness. Last week, Farrell Walker did a good lesson about humility, which truly is another component of joyfulness in the local church arrangement. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, to esteem others better than yourself. And so each of you I regard better than me. And when we all think that way, then we have mutual joyfulness even more and more. I'd like to read the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other's esteem better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And this is what we have here in the local church arrangement. Here, you'll see a lot of nice people saying and doing a lot of nice things in reference to or in regard to a whole lot of nice people. Spiritually minded ones are attracted to that. Brethren that are coming from here around the country or maybe from around the world are influenced by that. We can have a worldwide influence, and I think we do in this local church because of the visitors that come here and they see the things that are going on here at Northwest. Never underestimate that power. And they, I'm sure if we visited their church in another country or another city, that we would feel the same as well. So don't underestimate the power of influence. And so, and people that are visiting here as well get to know things about us. And so, thus far, just as a very short review, we're going to look at six things, as mentioned, as promised. We got two things going for us so far in the book of Philippians, and they are leadership and humility. Now let's look at the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I had not run nor labored in vain. We shine as lights in the world, and in this we rejoice. What we might have been before becoming a Christian is of no consequence. Now we shine as lights. Have you ever been up at night and stubbed your toe? Ouch, that hurts. In the darkness. So light is better than darkness, and we have chosen light. A joyful church does all things without disputing or complaining. And how despicable is complaining to God? Bible history easily proves that. And a joyful church just finds it untenable to complain. The reason that there isn't a complaint department is we couldn't find anybody to volunteer for it, and nobody complained about that. We could here also interject and reflect upon Psalms 133, verse 1. One of the most beautiful verses in the entire Bible, because it talks about mortal man getting along with mortal man in things of God and doing so effectively. God has no problem by himself. Let there be light, and there was light. We'll send Jesus over here at this particular year. He has no trouble by himself. But as we strive to work together, it can be a challenge from time to time. But look at this verse. It's one of the, I don't know if I call it a golden nugget or what, but it's one of those key scriptures in the Word. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it truly, truly is. And that is a wonderful thing. It's something we look at the local church to the superlative degree. That's why I don't know how to teach on attendance. I just don't. It's the most wonderful place to be here, enjoy it, say goodbye and go home. You know, I mean, that's pretty much it. And this verse is so wonderful, Psalms 133 and verse 1. And then there's this little phrase, Philippians 2 verse 15. How many times we've been over Philippians? Are you kidding me? And I looked at this verse while preparing this lesson for you and for the Lord. Be pleasing to the Lord, and hope you'll like it too. But you know, I didn't get Philippians 2 verse 15 without fault. That doesn't mean sinless. Those of you that understand 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, if a man says he has no sin and so on, you know, the truth is not in him. But it is without fault. That word or that phrase is a synonym with the word blameless and one of the qualifications for elders. So what does it mean to be blameless as an elder? What does it mean to be without fault as a Christian? They're the same thing. To have and live a life that is so noble and of character, it's just going to be almost impossible for anybody to find you in something that's wrong. It is a noble character. If you were studying qualifications for elders, and you went through probably a dozen lessons on that, and you looked at this particular thing about being blameless, it is of noble character. So much so, what did the Holy Spirit tell us to do? If anybody came to someone in a local church and said, Elder so-and-so, and they're a little room, you have to have two witnesses. In other words, I would say to a person, I just don't believe you, if that were the case. And we're very, very glad and very appreciative to have the good elders that we have here. And it's without fault for us and blameless for them. And they're synonyms as well. When you see words that are like that, that are similar to each other, then there's a reason for that. Then also, that's the next one is, they all shined as lights in the world, and that caused Paul to rejoice. I'm going to share an idea with you. I just believe it to be so. From the time I became a Christian as a teenager, walked with the Lord most of the time since that time, I can tell you that it's fun to be a Christian. It really is. You're in a contest with yourself, and it is the best anything to ever be in your entire life. And the rewards are not just here and now. The rewards are not just in eternity. The rewards are also here and now as well. So we are to indeed do that. And the next one is holding fast the words of life. So, just in a brief review, then we'll go into a little bit to the song of encouragement here in just a moment. But let's conduct a short review. And if you're taking notes, here they are. The local church, joyfulness in the local church arrangement. One is leadership. That's the very, very first one. I think it's indeed the most important one. Two is humility towards self. Three, shining as lights. Four, without complaining. Five, without fault. And six, holding fast the words of life. And if you'll keep these characteristics, then these characteristics shall keep you. There's very little doubt or very little surprise that of the joyful local church relationship. It is founded as a church by the Lord Jesus himself. And let's look at a couple of things about Christ, and then we'll bring the lesson to a close. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. A very familiar passage to all of us. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." I just have to chuckle, because as serious as that is, every time I read that verse, I'm in December when they're showing all the holiday season shows and everything. I'm seeing Lucy read this in as Peanuts and all, but it's a very wonderful verse, and glad that's there. Lastly, we'll look at Luke chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, about Simeon. Simeon took up Christ in his arms and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon lived by God's power until, you know, God had promised him, "You're going to be alive when Jesus comes into this world." And so he takes Jesus in his hands. I would guess he holds him up to the heavens, as it were, to lift baby Jesus up, as it were, into the sky. And Jesus promised him that very thing, that he would live until he was able to see the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's something... Is something missing in your life? Without Jesus as Savior, definitely so. We encourage whosoever will to be encouraged by this local church, or to obey the gospel of Christ as they did in Acts 2, the 3,000 of them, the Ethiopian nobleman in Acts chapter 8, and others in the book of Acts as well, and to let Jesus into your heart in a very real way, and turn to Jesus in every solution, every challenge that you may have during your entire life. And so if you're subject to the song of encouragement, we welcome you now.